Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. And I guess you can write this down on that thing, son. It's all about Jesus, start to finish.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus, start to finish. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's all about him, start to finish. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, you're a pretty mature group, comes back on Sunday night. And I think if people who study the Bible, read the Bible, realize that it's not about them, it's about him. See? And from start to finish. Now, sad to say, the day that we live in, most Christians think that salvation is all about them. All about what he wants to give them, and all about what he owes them, and how they can demand. I've heard preachers on television teach people how to demand things from God. Well, he don't have to do anything we say. It's all about him. It's not about us. In reality, according to verse 6, it says it, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. It's not about us. It's about him. Salvation and the Christian life, our eternal destiny is, just like he says, to the praise of his glory, not ours. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not about to the praise of me. It's to the praise of his glory. He'll get the glory for anything he does in our Christian life, from salvation start to finish. Every bit of the glory belongs to him. Somebody every once in a while look at you and say, man, I'm so proud of you, what you've done. And you'll look at him and say, if you see anything good in me, you better give him the glory. He's the one that did it. All good gifts come from the Father above. Now, did you know that it's now and forever going to be praised, and he'll be glorified in heaven, now and forever, for the salvation that he gave us. Now, that's the way heaven sees it. That's the way heaven sings about it. That's the way heaven worships him about it. And if you look at Ephesians, and just the whole book, but I'm going to go through a few verses in just about every chapter, and we're going to do what we call, now here's a big word for a boy from Lancashire, okay? We're going to do expository. It's hard for me to get out. I'm from south side of Lancaster, and we still say Lancaster. We don't say Lancaster. And those high-fluting ones over in Waxhaw and Bamwack now, they say Lancaster. We say Lancaster. And it's Lancaster, ain't it? See, there's a girl from Chester. She'll say it. Amen. She's not ashamed. But the rest of we will expose. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to expose what he says. Expound on it and expose it. That's expositional, see. And so let's look at it according to the scripture. Very little we have to say. Number one, look at verse 9. In verse 9 it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now wait a minute. The mystery of his will being, why would he even want to save somebody like us? Why would he do that? The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He decided to save us because it pleased him himself. He did that because it pleased him, see? And so, number one, I'd like to tell you, if you're saved and you're going to heaven, it's for His pleasure, not yours. And these little old wimpy Christians run around here, every time they stump their toe or get a splinter in their finger or something, they go crying out to God like, you know, God, you got to do this, you got to do that. Listen, the only reason He saved you in the first place was for His pleasure. It wasn't for your pleasure. You're still going to have hard days and good days and bad days, but God's going to take care of you, because when it all gets done, it pleases Him to save us. Amen? I like that. I don't know if I've ever pleased anybody, but it pleases Him to save me. Amen. All right, now, look at verse 11. Look at verse 11 in chapter 1. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know, He didn't ask my advice when He saved me. I didn't even get a vote on it. All I had to do was say, yes, Lord. You know, but it was according to His purpose, not mine. See, my purpose is to stay out of hell. That's the only reason I got saved. If you're saved, that's the only reason you got saved. You didn't want to die and go to a devil's hell and live there forever and ever. So you asked the Lord to save you. But the reason He saved you is because He's got purposes, not only to keep you out of hell, but to bring Himself glory and honor is His purpose. See that? So therefore, when we get out of God's will, we're going against His purpose. And when we go against His purpose, then He doesn't get any glory and He doesn't get any honor, and we bring Him dishonor. So His purpose, to get us back into His purpose, He's going to have to whip us and bring us back home. Look at verse 12. Y'all still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? Well, I ain't said nothing. I've just been reading your scripture. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, you got saved, not for your glory, but for His glory. There's a lot of Christians running around here thinking they're bringing glory to God. They're not. God, through them, is bringing glory to Himself. I mean, I get tired of these people. They think that they are God's gift to the kingdom of heaven. I mean, their gift to God. They think they're their gift to God, to the kingdom of heaven, and they think that they're doing God a favor by letting Him love them and choose them and pick them and save them and keep them, and that they're doing this great work and you ought to glorify them. You know what I tell them? Except by the grace of God, you'd burn just like everybody else. You don't get any glory for this. Amen? It's all for His glory. People ought to be able to look at us and say, glory to God. Look at that one. I'm going to say that again. Y'all didn't give me the right reaction. Don't about do it over here. Don't say, glory to God. Look at that one. I got better reaction over here. They're more spiritual than y'all are. You okay, y'all hang on, okay? For His glory. It's all about His glory. If it was up to us in our old flesh, we'd be that Gadarene maniac I talked about this morning, living with the dead people. Look at verse 17 and 18. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, you'll know everything about Him. It ain't about you, it's about Him. And you ever heard anybody say this? I'm finding myself. I got to find myself. Well, God knows where your sorry hide already is. Amen. Let Him find you. You'd be a lot better off. And by the way, ask me, I'll tell you what you are. I won't be afraid to tell you at all. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now that says a lot, but what it says is, He has revealed Himself to you. Is this on? This one's on? I'm going to have to get up close. Y'all didn't get that. He has revealed Himself to you. You didn't reveal yourself to him. He already knew what you were. Amen. But one day God said, I need you to look at me. I'm holy. I'm pure. I'm perfect. I'm undefiled. I am love. I'm everything that you'd ever want. Here I am. Come and get it. He did. He revealed himself to you, Holroyd. You didn't walk out in the yard one day and say, hey, God, here I am. God, in his foreknowledge and his wisdom, according to verse 17, it gave you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I tell you who to look out for. When these guys or gals now start talking about how they're having a revelation or a new revelation, what you need to do is walk off. Number one, there's nothing new under the sun. Number two, y'all listen to me, girls, look up here. Number two, everything you need to know about God is in that book. That is the mind of Christ in this present age. Look at me. That's the mind of Christ. You're not going to be, God's not going to reveal himself to you any other way. Now, he's already revealed himself to creation. Everybody gets that. But when he reveals himself to you personally, it's going to be through the Word of God. You ever heard anybody go, man, I just had a new revelation. Tell him to shut up. God will reveal himself to you. When you got saved, number one, he revealed himself to you. Amen? And by the way, if he didn't, you ain't saved. You say, well, I call on the name of the Lord. Well, if he didn't show himself to you as high and holy and lifted up and everything there is that's good and God, if you didn't see that first, you had no reason to get saved. Because once he reveals himself for who he is, then that will reveal to you what you really are. And then you'll want to be saved. See that? He revealed himself to you. You didn't reveal yourself. You wasn't even looking for him. He had to interrupt your stinking life to get your attention. Amen? Chapter 2. You still with me? Look at verse 4. And God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Now, I sing, there is a name I love to hear, I love to sing his word. It sounds like music, and I hear the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. He loved me first. And guess what? Because of his great love toward us, he saved us. Now, I know what some preachers say, and I even preached a time on you are somebody. Your sinner needs salvation. Or either you're a saint that needs sanctification. Amen? But these preachers now are telling people with this power of positive thinking and all this stuff that everybody's almost God. And the Mormons will even teach you that you can become God. They said Adam was once a man and became God. They said Jesus was once a man and became God. And the devil was once a man and became God. They say that. But I've got news for you. When God reveals himself to you and you see who he is and you get a glimpse of his glory, then you'll realize you're unlovable. We're unlovable. You ever seen a couple and the woman just be sweet as pumpkin pie? Getting that time, you see, I'm thinking pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie. It'd be just sweet as pie, we say. And she'd be married to what the Bible calls a churlish man. Mean, ugly, nasty, hateful. Y'all know what I'm saying? And you ever looked at that and said, how can she love him? kind of like do about Tom. How can she love him? She's laughing. Well, you know what? When God reveals His glory to us, He reveals Himself to us, we will love Him because of His great love toward us. You know, those of us who loved our parents, the reason we loved them is because they loved us first. All we did was love them back. And so when He reveals Himself to you, you'll see that it starts and finishes salvation because of His great love toward you, not because you've done anything to deserve it, because true love does not ask for anything. Look at verse 7. Why would He do this, preacher? Why would He save me? Why would He keep me? Why would He answer my prayers? Why would He take me on to heaven even after I've been saved? I'm still not worthy. I've fallen short so many times and I've failed so much and I have to keep coming back to the throne of God and I feel like a defeat and a failure. Why would He save me from start to finish? Look at verse 7, if you will. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He saves us from start to finish so He can show all of creation His undeserved love, undeserved, unmerited favor toward us. And His kindness toward us, undeserving as we are, He'll get us up into glory and He'll say, look what I did with this mess of a man. Yes. Look what I did with this mess of a woman. Look what I did. Yeah, you too. All of you. Look what I did with this teenager. Now that's a job right there. Look what I did with this Yankee. Amen. Amen. God's from the South, by the way. He says, you all. Paul said, you all. But, and all the angels, all creation, all the cherubims and seraphims, and all the angelic creatures say, glory to God in the highest. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Look what He has done. Amen. Amen. Through His kindness and through His love. Look at that crowd. They sure don't deserve it, but He loved them anyway. Amen. I like that. Amen. That's good preaching, Paul. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. Amen. Amen. We got a few in here, don't we? We got some Methodist learning. But anyway, look at verse 10, chapter 2. Chapter 2, if you will. Look at verse 10. He says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now all our good works, those are really His works. We're His workmanship. See, a workmanship means He's making something. Yeah, the potter and the clay. Stay out of my preacher. And boy, just started preaching. He's getting ahead of me, Brother Crouch. And he's molding us and making us and created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We're His workmanship. That means what He creates, not us. Yes. Well, preacher, I got saved. I quit smoking. Glory to God. He created that in you. Well, I quit drinking, preacher. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He created that in you. You didn't do that. He did that. Well, I quit running around. I quit licentious living and all these things, you know. And well, to say, well, glory to God. He did that. I didn't do that. Obama came out a few years ago and he told all these business people in front of these bums that don't do anything. He starts naming all these businesses. He said, you didn't do that. We did that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got news for you. When we get up to heaven, the same thing's going to be said. He's going to say, Holroyd, you didn't do that. I did that. Amen. Because you're my workmanship. I made you. I created you. I saved you. I sanctified you. I kept you all the way. Even when you fell, I picked you up and put you back on the right path. I made everything there is to make about you. You can take no glory for that. And all of heaven will say, amen. Amen. By the way, they don't say amen in heaven. They say amen. 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 Amen means I agree. Amen means you're in a dead church. Chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. In other words, you're not a Jew. You're not of the family of Abraham. Look what he says about you. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We have no part in inheritances of Israel. And strangers from the covenants of the promise, the promise being to Abraham. We have no part of that. We're strangers to those covenants. Now look at this. Having no hope and without God in the world. Wow. Wow. We were outside looking in. I remember when I was a kid, and I know some of you probably had a silver spoon in your mouth. Mine was wooden. But if I had one at all, plastic would have been rich where I come from. We just pass one spoon around. But I remember I went to school with kids that were a lot better off than me because I made good grades. So I was in the upper classes back then. That's what they called them. And so those kids had good homes. They had good families. They had mothers and fathers. They went to church. They lived pretty clean lives. They were a lot different than me. And sometimes I'd go by their house on my bicycle and I'd look and I'd think, man, they got brick. A brick house. I mean, ours is an old lap board, you know. Yeah. And they got real windows. Ours, the wind would blow and shake the curtains, you know. We put so many blankets on you couldn't turn over at night. Felt like you had a 30-pound bag of dog food or something laying on you. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
And then we'd get up on a cold morning, scratch the ice off the inside of the window, look out and grab our clothes and head for the heater, which was in the middle of the house.
Yes.
And get dressed at the heater.
Amen.
Y'all remember that? Yes. Amen. There's some real Christians in here. I'll find you yet. But I'd drive by and I'd look at those kids' houses and I'd say, man, and what it was, I was an alien in that neighborhood. Just looking in. But thank God now I've been adopted by a family that's got a mansion. Amen. I got a mansion. Get that old non-inspired version you Bible you got and throw it away. It says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I don't want no stinking room. I got a mansion coming. Amen. I was an alien. I was a stranger. And he took me in. He adopted me into the family of Abraham. And now I will inherit all the rights and all the covenants and all the commonwealth of Israel. I have been adopted into the family. Amen. I wasn't born this way. I was born a dirty, rotten, lost, hell-bound sinner. Amen. But now he picked me up and he cleaned me up. And he said, put this boy on the family list. He's now adopted into the family. Amen. 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 That's enough to make a Baptist shout. Amen. We had no promise, no hope. And we were without God, outside looking in. I'm almost through. Y'all about ready? I got some bananas at the house and I got some peanut butter and a loaf of bread, and I might get to eat early tonight. Look at amen. Look at chapter 2, look at verse 22. Chapter 2, verse 22. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 13. I'm about to skip one. Chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I was way out there, and now he's brought me way up here. Amen. Amen. Now look at verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I got locked up one time. I was a teenager. Got locked up one time. And I remember my mom wasn't at home. Of course, didn't have a daddy, but mom wasn't home. And I was cutting school that day, and I was cooking me some bacon and eggs. And somebody knocked on the door, and I opened the door. It was the county police. I knew he was. He weighed 300 pounds. And back then, the requirement for being a county police, you had to be have a big belly. And y'all remember those days? And so they took me. Said, "Boy, we're taking you to jail." I said, "Let me get my clothes." He said, "You ain't getting no clothes. You're going in what you got on." I had a T-shirt, an old pair of shorts, and no shoes. And I said, "Well, let me turn off the stove." He let me turn off the stove. He took me and he threw me in the back of that police car. And I slid down in that car and put my knees up on the back like I was cool, you know. About 14, 15. Put my knees up on the back of that seat. He turned around, he slapped those knees. He said, "Get your knees off the back. This is a police car, boy. Shut up." I sat up. And he said this, I'll never forget. "We finally got you." He said, "You're the last of the Roddy boys. Now every one of you's been to jail." I felt about that tall. But thank God one day Jesus came along and he adopted me and made me saints with the household of God. I'm not recognized by the Roddy household anymore. I'm recognized by the Jesus household. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Now we're on verse 22. Go to verse 22. Chapter 2, verse 22. Look at it. "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Now, we're a habitation. You know what that means? We're a dwelling place. The Apostle Paul said, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" The Holy Spirit, the day you got saved, the Spirit of God moved in. A lot of people misunderstand that Revelation 3:20. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him." Well, Jesus does not physically come into you. He's got a body. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. But his Holy Spirit comes into us. And when you got saved, you became a habitation for the Spirit of God. A dwelling place for the Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit moved in, and now it's his job. What's the verse? Jude 22 or 23 says, "Now unto him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy." That's his job.
Yes, amen.
We went to revival at Church of God one time, and this poor gal got up and she spoke in tongues and prophesied and all this stuff and said, "God said it." And then she got up at the piano and she sang this song and she sang, "I hope I make it. I hope I make it." And I said, God wasn't speaking through that woman no more than I was. Because if God was in her, she wouldn't be singing, "I hope I make it." She'd be singing, "I know I've made it. I know I've made it already. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now that's the Holy Spirit's job to get you there. And Jesus said, "I'll never leave or forsake you." That means his Holy Spirit's never going to leave you. He's going to go with you all the way. Now what a blessing. It's all about him from the beginning all the way to the end of your salvation is all about Jesus and His glory and His honor and His grace and His workmanship and His keeping power and His delivering power, all you are is a vessel. Amen. So He can get glory.
Yeah.
You know, I said this morning when they landed that boat and it got off the boat and that Gadarene maniac come running out there. Yeah, Jesus was God in a human body. Do you not think that He already knew that man was there? That He was going to show him? Turn this thing back on. What happened to him? Turn that thing back on. Wait a minute. It's gone. All right, I have to get back up here. My sound man's lost his sound here. All right. Is this one working? That one's working. All right. But do you not think that He knew that that Gadarene maniac was there? Why would He save somebody as low down as that? For His glory. That man couldn't do anything. It was for His glory that He saved that man. And that's the same reason He saved you. For His glory.
Amen.
Peter said, I'll not deny you. And that very night, he cussed and said, I don't even know this man. Three times he denied him in one night. And said, I don't know this man. Do you not think that Jesus already knew that He would do that? Sure He did. He told him, you're going to deny me three times. He said, no, I'll never do that. And He did it, and God kept him anyway and got glory out of him later on.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I get tired of these people thinking they got to hang on and hang in and all this stuff. Luke chapter 3, I promise you, verse 14, chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, not us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And we said, amen. Salvation, start to finish, it's all Him. And if it ain't all Him, it ain't Him at all. And if you mess with it, you're going to mess it up. That's why it's called living by faith. It's all Him. Now let me tell you something. If I die and go to hell, it'll be trusting Jesus Christ to keep me out. I cannot go to hell that way. They'd have to air condition it. It's the truth. I cannot go to hell. I'm fireproof. Now, I'm not saying I can't fall along the way. I can do stupid stuff along the way. But He's promised me eternal life. I'll never die. I'm going to live as long as God lives, not for my glory, because there's nothing I can do to get it or keep it. So what we need to do is give Him the glory for everything. If you lead the singing, somebody says you do a great job with the choir, say, give Him the glory. If you play the piano and somebody brags on you, say, give Him the glory. If you deacon, and somebody says you're a good deacon, give Him the glory. Amen. If you're a good mother, give Him the glory. You're a good father, give Him the glory. Amen. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. And that's it. It's so simple, Brother Billy. There's a lot of people just don't see it.
Now, I'm a Baptist, and I believe Baptist. I was saved in a Baptist church, and I wasn't like a lot of people. I studied all denominations, where they came from. And I settled on it. I said, if there's ever one better, I'll find it. But so far, this closest thing to find to it. But that doesn't get me one brick in heaven. Not 1 minute there. I'm going to heaven because of him. Now, I'm a preacher. He called me to preach, and at first it scared me to death. I enjoy preaching. If you got to preach, you don't want to preach, sit down, I'll do it. I love to preach. But that's not going to get me to heaven. It's not. All to Jesus, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let's stand. Altar's open if you need it.